Blog Talk Radio.
The most insightful and thought-provoking show on radio. Real, unrehearsed, and impactful interviews that encourage critical thinking for finding solutions for life's experiences. Our goal is to help others be more, do more, and have more. This is the Abundant Solutions Hour with your host, Gregory Turner.
We have a very powerful show tonight. Today is Wednesday, March 14th, and I'm telling you now, if you're listening, please have your note and pens available, because what you're going to hear tonight will change your life. Our special guest tonight is a native of Fort Myers, Florida. I'm jumping right into it because I don't want to waste any time. I want to bring her in. Yeah, she's a native of Fort Myers, Florida. She is a first-generation Haitian-American who first received national attention as a Quiet Storm castmate on BET's, if you can remember this, hit reality TV show, College Hill Interns. My special guest tonight is a best-selling author of Go Get Hers, The Go Get Hers Guide. Ivy, are you there?
Hi, how are you doing?
Hey, I'm doing fine. I've been waiting on this show. You know, Ivy, I've had so many people, so many women just reaching out to me saying they can't wait to hear the show tonight, because I think what a lot of women, they you know, you guys really are taking over right now. And I don't mean taking over, but I'm just saying it seems like it's more of you guys are stepping up and you're starting your own businesses and you're doing all these great things. And I just think it's wonderful what you're doing. And I just want to ask this question. Where did you come up with the idea of this book?
Well, first of all, I want to say thank you for having me. And I'm very excited and appreciate all the women that's looking forward to this talk. And I also want to correct something. We've always been doing our thing. We've always
been running businesses,
families, and everything like that. It's just that we're just now getting recognized for that. We still have a long ways to go. But I just wanted to make that clear. We've always been, you know,
Behind every strong man,
there's a what? but
right.
the book is called The 365 Go Get Hers Guide. What you want, when you want it, how to get it, make it happen. And Hers stands for happiness, education, respect, success.
Yes.
And initially, I came up with the idea a while ago. It was a long time ago when I was working in the music industry, and I was just doing a lot of things around town. I was throwing parties, you know, working in the music industry. I was working in real estate. I was doing so many different things. And the original concept of the book was supposed to be about, like, just being a boss, you know, being a boss chick and just having it all together and, you know, running things. And then throughout the years, I went through a lot of ups and downs, a lot of things challenging occurred physically, mentally, spiritually, and the guide kind of took another life of its own. So throughout that time, I was reading a lot of self-help books. I was listening to a lot of audio books. I was talking to a lot of people, different people, and just observing the world. And I decided that, you know, I need to have, like, a book or something like that, or something that I could just go to whenever I need to revisit some of the things that I was learning, right? Some of the motivational things, some of the quotes, some of the information about how to do things with careers and personal and everything, like finances and all that stuff. So I was like, you know what, let me create a guide. And then I figured if I needed this type of guide for myself, and there was a bunch of women out there that needed the same thing. And that's how the guide came about, essentially.
That's awesome. I'll tell you what, it's the 365. That's every day of the
yeah.
every day of the yeah, that's every day.
Yeah.
And I was, you know, thank you so much for sending me the book. I have it. And you know, when I went through this book, the one thing that stood out to me, and it's something that I always talk about, is the foundation. How important is it to have a solid and good foundation?
It's very important. And some people, like I mentioned in the book, are lucky enough to be born with a strong foundation, but many of us aren't. And so it's really about us recognizing that and trying to formulate one for ourselves, regardless of where we are in our lives, regardless of our age, regardless of our creed or whatever, where we come from, where our family comes from, we have to figure out what the foundation, what our own foundation is. If there's a something that can, you know how they say when you build a house on solid ground as opposed to building a house on water or whatever,
right.
It's very important that we figure out what our foundation is, how strong it is, and what we need to do. If it isn't strong, what we need to do to make it stronger. And that could be physically, mentally, spiritually, financially, or whatever. We just have to figure out what that is for us and how we can continue standing on solid ground so that we can grow as individuals.
I like how this book, it is really a guide. It takes you from A to Z, and it's all about the happiness. I'm reading through the chapters. And another thing that just really I want you to touch on is the purpose and the vision. Do you think that those two things are lacking when you have people that are trying to start businesses, that they think themselves out of it? They come up with a good idea, but they don't stay with it because they feel like they're not worthy or they're not valuable enough to do this.
Yeah, and I do too want to make sure that people know that it isn't just for people that have businesses. You can be a mother, you can be a student, you can be, you know, have a 9-to-5, you can be an entrepreneur, you can be famous, you can, you know, you can be just a regular person. But it repeat your question because I got into a tangent.
The purpose and the vision, I was
purpose,
saying, do you
yes,
think those
vision.
Things are lacking? Do you think they're lacking?
I don't think that purpose and vision are lacking. I think people, there's a reason why people do the things that they do. I just don't think people take enough time to identify it. You know, when it comes to in life in general, it is important to know why you're doing something, but I feel like naturally we do things. There's a reason why we're doing them. We might not want to admit why we're doing certain things, and, you know, because some people start businesses is not really to start a business. It's because maybe they like the title. Maybe they like what, you know, maybe I can say that I'm an entrepreneur so I don't have to work this 9-to-5 and I'm working on, you know, following my dreams. Or they want to be successful and think that being an entrepreneur or whatever is the way to be successful because they're trying to prove something to other people. My whole thing is you got to know what your purpose is in everything that you do. Identify it, recognize it, and don't be ashamed of it and push forward. If you want to do certain things in like on social media or want to be an actor or whatever because you want to be famous, then say that, because some people would be like, oh, you don't like the craft. You just want to be famous to some people, and they take offense to that. So I'm like, if that's what you want, then that's what you'll get there quicker if you identify it, recognize it, accept it, and move forward with it in that. And it is important, too, to, like, with a purpose, to have a vision. It's great to see the end result of things, and then you want to know why this end result. And what do I need to do to get it? So you need to have a vision so you can set goals, and that's another chapter in the book, so you can find steps to get there. Instead of just seeing this big old vision and you don't know how you're going to get there, and you're running around here aimlessly, you know, that's not good for you or anybody else around you.
That's so true. And, you know, when you're dealing with the trials, we all go through trials and tribulations, and one thing I do like the fact that you said this book is just not for people that start in businesses. This book is for anyone trying to do anything, they're just trying to get it. And when you're going through those trials and when you're just starting out and you're trying to do this thing that you love and you feel that this is what you're supposed to do, when you start having your trials, how did you hang on and how were you able to just stay in there, stand in there firm and fight for what you wanted?
Cause I knew everything is mental. I just knew that. And maybe it is from subconsciously was from, self-help books or workshops or seminars. I just knew everything was mental. And I knew that even in your down times, you got to continue to feed yourself mentally. And that's why when I went to YouTube, I would always look for motivational stuff. When you're feeling some kind of way, I always listen to, you know, gospel music or watch like sermons on YouTube or television. I would listen to like motivational songs, like I would go, if I couldn't find something on the radio and if I couldn't find something on my phone, I'd rather sit in the car silent and kind of be in my thoughts. So I just knew that everything was mental and that this too shall pass. So it was really about, you know, kind of weeding it out or going through it and knowing that at the end of it, you'll get through it. Because, of course, what they say, God don't, you know, he don't put nothing on you that you can't bear. So just knowing that there is an end, you know, to it, and then feeding myself mentally, because it is a mental thing most of the time.
Yes. And with the mental piece, it's so important. The mental piece of when you're going through this and you're trying to do it, this first one about happiness, you have a core. Mm-hmm. Happiness is a choice waiting to be chosen. Choose abundantly. Mm-hmm. You know how some people say, well, you have a choice to be happy. You have a choice to be sad. But, you know, I guess some people really can't separate the two and figure out, okay, how do I be happy? You know, there's a lot of people out there that are just not happy, but they should be, and they don't really understand how to choose that. What would you say?
I think because people focus on how to be happy, and they're not looking at what's making them sad. So I think you have to tackle what's making you sad, why is it making you sad, and what can you do to change that, and then that'll get you to happy instead of focusing on how I can get happy. Look into what is making you sad and try to deal with that first. And that way, hopefully, you'll know every time that comes around, or that feeling or that thought or that person or whatever comes around, you'll know how to handle it and you'll know how to put yourself into a more, you know, happy space.
Yes, I like that. I like that. That quote is very, very powerful. I highlighted it, and I ever since you sent me this book, I read that every morning. I read that quote every single morning because, you know, it just life experiences, those things happen, and you may have somebody in the hospital, somebody that you love that's sick somewhere that's going through, and you're trying to grind and do your thing, and you're trying to be happy for yourself, but it's just it's a struggle for me. I'm not going to lie. It's really a struggle for me. And this book is really, really helping me with my everyday life. And I was just looking over the character part. I don't think people, I don't think a lot of people really understand how important character is. I just love the way that you have everything just lined up in this, and it's just so important. Can you speak on that character thing a little bit?
Yeah, you know how they say it's not about what you do. It's not really about what you do to somebody. They'll always remember how you made them feel. Yeah. And usually character just comes from within. That's like, it's almost like even everybody kind of goes with that philosophy. Even street dudes, you know, like his character, you know, his morals and whatever, you know, they'll always be like, this is the code. It's your code. Like when street guys talk, they talk about code, or girls will talk, it's girl code. That really is character. That is how you are naturally, you know, regardless of, at the end of the day, this is who you are. And that's usually what people remember, you know, and that's an important thing to recognize. Like when you do something, when you're constantly doing something and you're getting like a negative response from other people, you got to see what it is that you're doing and where it's coming from. Like, you know, is that because of your natural way of being and doing things, and that kind of comes from your character, it comes from your morale, it comes from, like, some of it can derive from your original foundation as well, as how you was brought up, where you was brought up, the people that were around you, your influences, that can influence your character too. But what people have to recognize, and that's when I kind of break down, you know, like they say, the Bible gives us everything that we need to know, how to live our life, you know what I mean, and the fruits of the spirit is one of those things, and that really is a foundation for developing your character. If you feel like your character isn't intact, you know.
Yes.
So I mean, it's very, very important, and we kind of all go by these codes anyway. I just don't think people, you know, recognize that.
Yes. You know, when I put up two of your videos I put out there on Facebook, and some people had already, they saw it, and this one girl called me, and she said, Greg, this young lady, Miss Box, she looks so confident, and everything that she's doing, and she's this boss. I mean, she's just like really doing it, and I'm really into what she's saying. Everything that she's saying it with a force that, you know, she really believes what she's doing. And I said, well, yes, you know, she's been on television. She's done this stuff. She's been in front of the camera. She's made music videos. And with all of that, confidence is so important. But also that's what's important, too, is believing it. And my question is, when you were on television, or before you were on television, on the show, when you, I guess you had to go in and try out for it or whatever, do the role, were you confident enough then that you felt like this is the way for you? You just knew you were going to get the part?
I didn't know if I was going to get the part, but I was confident in the audition process, you know, and I did break the audition process in the book, but I was confident in the audition process for some reason, because I was just like, you know, like I said, I was doing my thing, you know, prior to working in the music industry, you know, in college I was involved on campus, and then after that I was working a really good 9-to-5 job. I was throwing parties. I was doing, you know, I had my mortgage broker license. I was just doing my thing, and this was an internship, as they said, College Hill. When I knew it was a television show, and it was like a competition, and you were going to work in these different industries, I was like, man, I got this, you know. But I'm not, people aren't, and I'm human. We're not always confident, because I was confident going into the auditions, and then I got selected to be on the show. But when it came to taping that show, my confidence level went down, because I was like, that's when reality TV got real, because I was like, hold up. You know, they told us, you know, once you get on the show, we're going to tape in Chicago. So they flew us all in Chicago. Then you got there and you saw all of these personalities. You saw all of these cameras. You walked into this house. They took your phone. You know, it was like, it got real. And that, my confidence went down to the floor. I was like, oh my God, you know, when I go home, I have my parents, I have my family, I have, I'm in a sorority. What if I want to go back and get a 9-to-5 job? Like, you know, like, what am I doing here?
So I was
not confident in that. And I think that's kind of why my name, The Quiet Storm, kind of came about, because I became, especially when the camera's around, I was more observant. I didn't want to speak too much or do anything too crazy, because there were strong personalities around me. All of us a little frustrated. We're in competition mode. So I was like, I don't want to do nothing to look stupid. But when I got into competition mode, then that's when my confidence would get up, because I'm like, I'm in this. I know this space. You know, I can do this stuff. You know, I can do presentations. I can throw events. I can do all of that stuff. So the confidence level went up. But when it came to, like, you know, the camera part and really thinking forward about, like, okay, how are they going to make you look? Then that confidence didn't, it was not there.
But it sounds like, you know, when you say you were listening, you weren't doing that much talking. Everybody else was strong around you. They had the personalities. And you said you started breaking things down. You said, oh, I could do this. Was that you pulling from your foundation?
Foundation is pulling from my experiences, and it's pulling from my character, because I'm just, I'm a nice person. You know, naturally I'm friendly, even if somebody isn't friendly to me. So I already knew, like, me, I'm not a bad person. I just didn't understand how television works, because I'm just like, well, they can make you look like a bad person, you know, like, regardless. You might get into one argument, and then you're the person that always argues, you know, on television or something like that, even if you just get into one argument. You don't know how they're going to edit it, how they're going to break it down. So, I did pull from my foundation, because naturally I'm a good person. So, you know.
Yeah. Well, did you have to have a strategy while you were on the show? Was it I guess when the cameras were off, you had to really sit back and say, you know what, this is how I'm going to make this. I'm going to make this work. I have a strategy, and this is what my strategy is going to be. Because when I look at a lot of the reality shows today, it looks like everybody's setting themselves up to do something else. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Not back then, because this was almost 10 years ago. So the reality television was a little different. You know, now, if I was on the show now, it would be a totally different thing. it would be more strategic. You'll have a lot more stuff set up. You know, you might play something a little bit more extra than you naturally would. You would play more for the camera than you would just doing your own thing. So back right. then, it wasn't really a strategy. It was like more, okay, you're on the show, you're doing your thing, just do it well and show out that way. But mm-hmm. we weren't really playing for the cameras. We were just really being ourselves. I think nowadays people more so play for the cameras. They have a lot of social media platforms. They engage a little bit more. And, you know, then they kind of turn into characters of themselves. So I think it's a little different now than it was back then.
Yes. Now, I want to talk with you about the goal setting because I learned, so again, I learned a lot from your book. I've learned that I need to write my goals down. It's just so important to have goals when you're starting a business, when you're anything that you want to do, it's just so important. In the goal setting, where did you find the time to really sit down and know exactly what you wanted to do, if that makes any sense?
As far as how I want
the goal
to go
setting
about with the chapter or naturally in life?
Naturally in life.
Naturally in life, I think, you know, we all kind of have these visions, especially when we're young, of what we want to do and how and who we want to be. And then, of course, going through school, you kind of have those same ideas, like this is what I want to do when I grow up and, you know, or whatever. Then in certain courses, they'll teach you like, hey, you have to have steps to get to these, you know, to get to these end results. In classes, you have to go through these chapters, and at the end of the chapter, you have the test. So it was all about breaking the end goal down, right? So I think we all, like when I wanted to join a sorority, I was just like, okay, this is what I have to do. These are the goals. These are the people I have to talk to. These are the programs I have to go to. So I think sometimes naturally we just set goals for ourselves and we don't call them goals. But for me, I knew that I had to be not just strategic, but I had to figure out how I was going to, if I wanted to get on BET, how I'm going to get on BET. You know, like I think we just kind of all set goals without calling them goals. But, mm-hmm. you know, with the book, it was kind of making it more, it kind of laid it out a little bit more. This is how you can write those goals, and this is how you can get to the business of actually accomplishing those goals to get to that end result.
Yes. Now, with the book and everything else that you have going, how in the world do you find time to do all of this? I'm reading, I'm going through everything, and I'm just trying to figure out, where did you find time to write this book? Because you're all over the place.
Yeah. Well, you know, you got to make time. That's really what, you know, they say, when you make time for stuff that you really wanted to do. Because it took me a while to actually sit down and write this book. I've been had the thought. Since I did the show, I had the thought afterwards when I was working in the music industry. I was writing down all the things that I wanted to do. I wanted to accomplish, and writing a book was one of them. And it's just that I never really made time for it. Like, I was doing everything, and after a while, you was like, oh, who am I to write this book? You know what I mean? Like, you know, what am I going to talk about? How am I going to do it? And then once you write the book, then people are going to expect you to always try to live up to it and all this stuff. So all these thoughts was coming through my mind. And then it started to become a chip on my shoulder, because it was like I talked to a few people about the book, but every time you see those people, you remember you told them that you was going to write the book. And I stopped talking about it. Then yeah. I was like, okay, but it became a, because I knew it must have been something that God wanted me to do, because he kept putting it in my face, and he kept reminding me that I needed to do it. And then when I actually was like, okay, I'm going to do it, because I attempted a couple of times, but at this point in time, 2016, at the end of it, like October or something, I was like, okay, fine. Something told me, like, you just need to do it. And I sat down, and then words were just coming out, you know, like, It was easy. It wasn't like before when I sat down, tried to write, you spend 2 hours staring at the screen and you ain't write nothing. This time right. it was like it was coming out. So I guess it was timing, maybe divine intervention. I don't know. I guess now was the time that I was supposed to write it.
That's awesome. I tell you, when God gives you something, he doesn't hold back. He'll give you the beginning to the end. And when we try to do some things a lot of times on our own, we can't. It's like, wait a minute, I can't come up with these words. Okay, well, maybe it's not time for you to do that yet.
Yeah.
And I also Yeah. Now, I think with the I love the part with, about the overcoming procrastination. I think a lot of us.
You know, I know about that.
Woo, a lot of us struggle with that. I talk to so many people that want to start their own business, that want to get into acting, that want to get into singing, but they never start. And they actually can do it. I mean, I've seen them. They can actually do it. But what do you think the root of this procrastination is? Do you think it's just the fact that they're afraid of failing or afraid of being successful? What do you think it is?
Like there's a chapter about getting out of your own way. Sometimes we get in our own ways. We overthink things. Because I remember even when I was procrastinating and writing a book, like, I had wrote so many different indexes. Like, I was like, let me talk about this, let me talk about that. And at one point I had like 40 different titles, and I was just like, come on, who, you know, you ain't gonna write about all this stuff, you know? So like you know, some things is like, okay, once I write this book, everybody's gonna, you know, everybody's gonna know. And what if I fail? Then it's like, oh, what if I succeed? Then I'm have this responsibility. And I think a lot of people have those thoughts, like the fear of failure. You know, they might do something, now they're putting themselves out there, they're stepping outside of their comfort zone, and now that's opening the door for judgment for them. Then it's like, okay, what if I succeed? Am I prepared for this? Am I prepared to put myself out there? Am I prepared for what's going to come, these speaking engagements or this money or, you know, haters or whatever people like to acknowledge? So it's some of everything. And then sometimes we just overthink it, or we think that we're not skilled enough for it. But like they say, the universe makes room for your talents. And then sometimes once you start, that's when the doors will start to open for you. Or like God already knows where he wants to send you. He's just waiting on you to make the first move. And I just think that we just kind of overthink things sometimes, and we psych ourselves out of it. Either on either ends, whether it's fear or of failure or fear of success.
I tell you what, you're hitting on a lot of points, and a lot of people are texting me and they're sending me messages on the internet, and it's just awesome, because what you're hitting on is so important. You know how people have these things, this is how I did this, but they really don't go through the way that you're doing it. This is really detailed. And it's a really good blueprint to anything in anybody's life, not just for women, but men as well. This thing is so detailed, and you're talking about discipline and how important it is to be disciplined. I guess when you're trying to do what you're trying to do, anyone, you have to sacrifice some things. And I know you sacrificed some days of not being able to do certain things because you were trying to do this book, or you were trying to, or not trying, you were actually doing these things, everything that you wanted to do. This discipline part, was it tough for you to say, you know, I can't do this right now because I'm on this show. There's certain things I can't do, so I have to be disciplined enough to stay on course and not get distracted. The discipline piece for you, was it tough?
No, not too much. It depends. Like, discipline for me, it ranges from depending on what I'm doing and what factor. Working out, I'm not disciplined at working out. I need to be. But when it's something like, for me, writing this book or putting on an event, like, if it's something that I really want to do, then it's not hard for me to be like, no, I can't go out with y'all tonight, or I'm going to stay in the house and work on three chapters before I do anything else. You know, when I'm really trying to do something, if I'm planning an event, like with my nonprofit, I'm doing a youth empowerment workshop for the first time in Fort Myers. So I'm more disciplined. Okay, I got to set these things up. I'm not in this city, so I have to really stay on top of things. I have to really, you know, make Excel spreadsheets to make sure everything's organized. Then I'm disciplined in that way because it's something that I really, really want to do. And when it came to writing the book, at that particular time, I really wanted to do it. So saying no was not an issue. But, like, if it's, you know, whether I'm going to go to the gym or go out with my homegirls, most likely I'm going to pick going out with my homegirls because I'm not disciplined in that area yet. So for me, it just kind of depends on what I'm doing. But, you know, if it's something I really want to do, then it's easy for me to be disciplined at it.
Yeah, I saw the celebrity party. That the celebrity party that you had. That was You know what? Little girls, young girls or teenagers are they see you in the video that you had. I don't know if you know I knew about it, but the video you pulled up in a Bentley and these little girls they went crazy. I mean, this look the kids that I know, some of the kids know me on Facebook, they were reaching out to me and they were like, I didn't say anything about it. I didn't even know anything about it. And they, this little girl sent it to me, and the first thing that they kept saying was, she's a boss. They just, the little kids, they just kept saying this. She's a boss. She's a boss. That's how I want to be. Do you think that's already in them to be that, to want to be that? Or they see that that side of you, that something in you that they want to be?
First, let me clarify, that is not my Bentley. It's a music video, people.
Well, at least you're being honest. At least you're honest about it.
Yeah, that is not my Bentley. I'm not going front like I had a Bentley. That used to be like my dream car. I used to want a Bentley. My friend had a Bentley, and I was like, I'm doing this music video. Can we use your Bentley? And he was like, yeah. I was like, okay. So that's the first thing, you guys. That is not my Bentley. But I do think, like, visuals and stuff are aspiring is just like with Black Panther. I haven't seen that movie four times. Like, I done brought my mama to see it. I done brought my little cousins to see it. Like, I think the things that we see do inspire us, and what we see and experience as kids, it does have an impact on us. That's why when we get to have movies like Black Panther or something that inspires the youth and everybody else, it's very important in cultivating our futures. I do think that naturally when we're born, like we're fearless. Kids are fearless. You know, they'll jump off the top of a bed and everything like that. So I do think, yes, to answer your question, that we're born fearless. We're born bosses. You see how kids are. They'll, as soon as they get around a kid, oh, go get this for me, you know, or when they have a toy, it's like, this is my toy. Like, they're not afraid of anything. It's just that as they grow up, society kind of, you know, we kind of put boundaries on people, and we insert our fears onto other people, and our pains and our experiences we insert into our kids, and the environment influences them, and then it kind of reshapes them. If they're lucky enough, they will be around people that cultivate whatever that spirit is in them, that boss spirit experience, their talent or whatever. If they're lucky enough, they'll have somebody around them that cultivates that. But a lot of times people don't have that. So that natural boss, that natural fearless person sometimes gets diminished as they get older. And that's a sad thing.
That is. That's so true. You were saying that. I like the fact that you said that wasn't your Bentley. And I think because you're so honest with what you're doing, I think in the industries that you're in, not just one but all of them, I think you're well respected because you're so upfront and you're laying things out, and you're such an example from the things that you're saying. People can really follow you, and these are the type of words that I'm getting hit with right now on my phone and everything. Everybody's asking these questions, and you said that one thing about the relationship, so they can have somebody pour into them. Of having a good team, networking, how important is that to have a group of people that believe what you're trying to do, and those people kind of motivate you and keep you from being distracted and just believe in you and help you? How important is it to just have a good relationship with people?
It's very important because sometimes, like, your name will perceive you, as they say, like, sometimes somebody don't have to meet you. They've just heard about you. Oh, I heard about you. Oh, you're Ivy Box. I heard about you, you know. So sometimes your name will carry forward before your physical body does, you know. They'll meet your reputation before they meet you. So it's very important in that aspect, you know. So.
Yes, that's, yeah. And everything that we're talking about, I'm pulling it right from your book. These, everything, the content, the respect, relationships, and this next one, do
and,
the work.
And with, sorry to interrupt you. And it is about, like, a lot of the times, it is about who you know, you know. As a, it's not always about what you do and how much degrees you have and all that stuff. Sometimes it really is just about who you know. Most of the opportunities that I've gotten is because I knew somebody that knew somebody that knew somebody. And I think that happens with a lot of people when you watch interviews that people are doing. Look at, like, when we were talking about Black Panther, Michael B. Jordan, worked with Ryan Coogler, and that's how he's gotten a lot of his big roles, is because of his relationship with Ryan Coogler, Michael B. Jordan, you know? So it is a lot about who you know, because those are the people that a lot of times, it's like even when I tell people about when they look at career-wise, right? You submit your, say if you want to work in corporate America, you submit your resume. There are thousands of people submitting that doggone resume. Them HR people are human just like everybody else. They are not checking for everybody's resume. They look for who's being referred by somebody that either works at that job or somebody that they know. Oh, I know this person. They've applied for this job, or, you know, they referred somebody. And those are the applications and resumes that they're going to pick up first. And those are the people that you're going to call in first, and those are the people that's going to get those opportunities, you know? So it's very good to not only establish relationships, but to maintain positive relationships with other people, because you just never know. Sometimes that could make or break your situation.
And that goes right into what the content, the next one, was create opportunities.
Yeah.
But, you know, when those things, when you go in and when those opportunities are present themselves, now you have to do the work.
Yeah.
Now you have to get down and really do the work, you know. And when you came up with this do the work, what was that about? Were you saying, what were you saying when you say do the work? I know what you said in the book, but I want the listeners out there to hear about doing the work, what that really means, the grinding.
Yeah, you know, make it. Sometimes we do, you know, we're all guilty of it. We'll sit around and wait for something to happen. But, like, how long, like I used to always say, if you don't make it happen, how long are you willing to wait? Like, there's opportunities that are out there. We have to, A, recognize them and jump on them. Not every opportunity, but you got to recognize opportunity when you see it, because sometimes it doesn't say, hey, I'm opportunity. Sometimes it's disguised as something else. And then once you get that opportunity, you have to do the work. It's not going to just, even when people say overnight celebrity or overnight success or whatever, usually those people have put in work. It was just like, oh, they got discovered on YouTube. No, they had to record the YouTube, you know, like the thing had to be recorded. It had to be uploaded. Somebody shared it. Like, you know what I mean? Like, there was work that was going, and then once people had recognized you, you know, now you got to go and perform, you got to do interviews, you got to do all of this stuff. That takes work. You got to hone your skills, you got to practice, you got to, you know, do all of that stuff. So it takes work. And then if you just so happen to get lucky and you get discovered, if we're talking about celebrities or overnight successes, once you get into that position, for you to maintain it so that you're not that, you know, just a 15-minute of fame type person, a 15-second of fame type person, you're going to have to work to maintain that. You know, you got to stretch it out. Like, you know, you use the Kardashians as an example. Like, they had to put in work and to maintain this attention business that they got, and put in work to cultivate it, to turn that into money and all the other experiences that they had, and, you know, staying relevant. It takes work. In business, it takes work to maintain your business, to always get, you know, maintain clientele and reaching out to customers and making sales and creating products and all of that stuff. Oprah's still out here working. She's a couple billion in. If Oprah's still working, you guys, we got to still work. And it's okay to take a break and a vacation, but we got to continue to do the work. Oprah is Oprah because she always did the work, you know. And shout out, in the book, I talk about this when I was at the Merge conference in L.A. And Suzanne DePass, she is like the bomb when it comes to entertainment. And she actually said that, and I asked the question, entertainment-related, a boardroom, being in a room with men without losing something. It's in the book, you guys. But she was saying that, you know, to always do the work, to do the work, do the work, and then again, do the work. And she's been in the industry for how long, and she's still doing the work. So
it's always, Oprah, she always talks about these goals. And you would think all this money, all this awards, everything that she's done, she's still, those goals are still there. And she's mm-hmm. consistent. She's consistent with doing the hard work. She's always doing, And with you, you're doing an event. You just mentioned a few minutes ago, you're doing an event down south. What is that event? I think you say it's the first one of its kind in that area.
It was the first time that we're doing it in Fort Myers. I was thinking about events because I have another event that I'm doing next week. It's a millennial mixer. And since it's Women's History Month, all of the businesses and organizations that we're showcasing is women-based businesses. But that's a millennial mixer. But what I'm doing in Fort Myers is called Fearless and Flawless. It's a boys and girls empowerment workshop. And my nonprofit, Voice the Movement, we've been doing these youth empowerment workshops for the last 4 years. But we rotate. So we'll do all female, then we'll do male and female, and then we'll do all male. Then in January, we did all females. And we're based out of Tampa, Florida. So I'm originally from Fort Myers, and I was just like, you know what? I just had it in my mind for a long time. I was just like, I need to do something in Fort Myers. I need to do something in Fort Myers. That's where I was born. That's where I was raised, like where I came into my own, you know. And I was like, I got to do something for the kids down there. And I was just like, we need to bring Fearless and Flawless down to Fort Myers. So we teamed up with the Stars Complex, and we're bringing it to Fort Myers for the first time. So this is the first time that we're doing it there. Praying that it's received well, because when we do the Boys and Girls Empowerment, when we do the Girls and Boys Empowerment, it's we have like 200 kids and over 50 adult volunteers and we do these workshops for these kids, and we make sure that it's entertaining. We have a DJ. We feed them breakfast. We give them lunch. And it's just an empowerment situation. Because when we talk about purpose, Fearless and Flawless, when people hear that, they're like, oh, it's talking about flawless like Beyonce. But flawless is like actually an acronym. Fearless is actually an acronym. And that's what we kind of use to guide the workshops and to give the presenters and the panelists, you know, key pointers to help empower our youth. So I'm looking forward to that. In April, in Fort Myers, April 14th, if anybody's listening.
Now, are you willing to take this workshop on the road other than doing it down south? Are you available for anyone that wants to bring this workshop to their city?
Yeah, I've actually thought about that. If we can get funding for it, then, because it takes a lot. The one we do in Tampa, we get a grant for it. The Fort Myers one, it's pretty much money that was fundraised to do it, and we're still accepting sponsorship, because it's going to take a lot, because we do make it free for all the kids. Like, they don't pay anything, and they get bags, and they get trinkets, and we have speakers, and we don't have we have some pretty good speakers. They're usually like local celebrities, football players, entertainers, and stuff like that, and these people like volunteer their time to do this for the kids. So if we can get like a budget together, I've done this enough to know how much, it's not knocking anybody over the head. We can bring it to their city and make it available to their kids. And it can, instead of limiting it to 200, because we limited it to 200 for budget reasons.
Right.
But it could be 500, it could be 1,000, it could be 2,000. Like, we just have it structured so well that I think we can bring it anywhere and it could be a success.
Yes. I want to ask you about this, too, because you're down south with the school shooting that occurred on February 14th. How has this impacted the area with the kids that you're around, since you deal with these kids? How do you think this has impacted them from what you've seen and what you've heard?
I think it's traumatic. Anything like this, whether people recognize it at the moment, is traumatic. But I love, like, today was the national walkout day where the kids were protesting gun violence. And I heard Oprah say this one time, sometimes these tragedies occur to kind of wake us up. And I think it woke a lot of people up, not just the government and not just parents, but these students, like saying, wait, this is an issue. And we have to do something about it because clearly these adults ain't got it together.
Right.
It's time for the kids right now to step up and be like, hey, we got to take responsibility for our own lives and our own situation and our own environment. So I think this the impact, although negative and can and traumatic, it has a positive undertone to it because it woke a lot of people up and it woke a lot of young people up. And I think it's empowering for these young people to see, like, people are paying attention to our voices, you know, and this whole national, yes, with all of them participating, we can engage our peers and make positive change instead of engaging our peers for something negative. We can create positive change. And I really hope that the government looks at this and put all of the pettiness aside and be like, you know, like what these kids' voices have been heard and we're going to do something about it. And I hope they do something about it.
I hope so too. I just think your events, what you're doing for these children is just awesome. And I'll tell anyone, please get the book, The 365 Go-Getters Guide. It's
okay.
A book. This thing is amazing. And I'm sure, Ivy, you're available for in speaking engagements or anything like that. I know that you are.
Mm-hmm.
If people want to get in contact with you to talk to you about the event that you have, this workshop, and
mm-hmm.
also to talk with you about doing a speaking engagements at any event, how would they get in contact with you?
Well, they can go to my website. It's missivybox.com, and that's MSIVY, B as in boy, O, X as in X-ray, .com. And I'm Miss Ivy Box on all my social media platforms, so Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. They can DM me, and they can email me or send me an email, a message through my website. In the
awesome.
Contact section. So, yeah, MissIvyBox.com and Miss Ivy Box on all social media platforms.
Yes. Now, I just got a text message from a guest. I don't know who they are, but they're asking me about this. Get out of your way. Get out of your
yeah.
way. How
get
do
out of
I
your...
get out of? Yeah. How do I get out of my own way? She says she's such a procrastinator. She's afraid yeah. to start, but she knows she has the talent, but she's having a problem starting, and she wants mm-hmm. to know how can she get out of her own way.
Well, the greatest thing is that she recognized that she's in her own way, because a lot of people don't recognize that. They don't know that they're the problem. They think everybody else, they think their finances is the problem, but they don't realize that they're the problem. And I commend her for recognizing that. And procrastination is one of the biggest things one of our biggest hurdles. And the only thing that can get us going is if we start. That's really the simplest way. Whatever you want to do is just start doing it and then get into that habit of doing it and keep doing it and keep doing the work, and you'll eventually accomplish it. And you're on your own timeline. Don't race nobody else. You know, like sometimes they say you compare your chapter 5 to somebody's chapter 20. And you're like, why am I not here? It's because they had chapter 20, honey. You only have 5. Stick to your chapter 5 and be proud of your chapter 5, okay? You know, and that's really what people have to recognize. Like you are, and that's one of the big things about this book is about defining your happiness, education, respect, and your success for yourself, and not allowing anybody else or society to do that for you. So you're on your own time limit. If it takes you 10 years to accomplish that, it took you 10 years, and you should still be proud of it, okay?
That's so true.
Yeah, just start. You know what you want to do, do it, and keep doing the work, and you'll accomplish it.
Yes. Now, the second thing, too, the fear piece. You know, mm-hmm. I hear so many people, oh, my goodness, fear. They have these great ideas. Here, sometimes I do a lot of paperwork for people that want to start their own business. I always push
mm-hmm.
that. And we do the paperwork. Then they go down to the Secretary of State and they file their paperwork. And when they get it back, you know, they have a copy of, and it's official. It scares a lot of people. They're like, I wanted to start this business, but now I don't. I'm just afraid, and they just break down and they tell me that. And it's almost like I have to coach them and say, okay, this is your dream. This is what you wanted to do. You know, speak on that. Speak on that fear thing.
Ugh, I hate fear. Like when I, at the end of the day, when there's something that I didn't do or didn't accomplish that I wanted to do, at the end of it, it was fear that stopped me from doing it. And what people have to do is make fear a real thing, like a person, you know. And every time you see it, people that recognize haters, I don't like to recognize haters because I think if you recognize that, you're going to continue to have them. But it could be a hater that every time that fear pops up, that's that motivation for you to keep going, to actually do it. And then once you actually do whatever it is that you are afraid of, then you're no longer going to be afraid of it. I heard Tupac, greatest rapper of all time, he would say like, if he was afraid of something, like if he's fearless, and he's fearless because like if he was afraid of an individual or if he was afraid of doing something, he would do it, and he would, you know, do it really well, and he would face whatever that fear was until he's no longer afraid of it, and then he's no longer afraid of it. So the thing that we're afraid of, we need to do it, and that way it won't be scary anymore. It was just like when you're a kid and you was afraid of the dark. And you was just like, oh, if I walk through the dark without, you know, without any light, a monster's going to get me. And you keep thinking that until you decide to walk through one time in the dark at night and you realize nothing happened to you, then you're no longer afraid of it. So just do whatever it is, that thing is that you're afraid of. Keep looking it in the face. Look at it as a hater and use it as motivation to do it, and you'll no longer be afraid of it.
You know, how much of it is just our thinking? We create these falsities. We create these things that aren't, you know, I'm going to fail. Oh, this is going to happen. I'm going to get sued or they're going to boo me off stage. How much of this is, you know, this thinking that we have? It happens to me sometimes, and I have to ignore it.
Mm-hmm.
I really do. I have to ignore it because when I'm trying to do something, And I heard Oprah say this just the other day, that thinking, sometimes you have to ignore what's going on in your mind. And I know, Ivy, with all the things that you're doing, I'm pretty sure you have those thoughts. And how are you able to get past those thoughts and push forward and do what you want to do?
I always have those thoughts. They're going to keep creeping in. The more you do, the louder it's going to get, you know. But at the end of the day, like, I look at it like an individual again, you know, like every time it pops up, I'm like, get out of here, you know, get away from me. Like, stop talking. Like, okay. Or I will look at it from a spiritual aspect. Oh, that's the devil trying to stop me from being great. You know what I mean? Like, that's the devil trying to stop me from being great. And then that gives me more of a motivation to keep pushing forward, you know, and not let it hold me. But it is a mental thing, 'cause it all is running through your mind. Like, once you can tackle the mind, then anything is possible. You see these crazy things some people accomplish, and just the thought of it would have made you like cringe, but because they just knew and believed in themselves, they got it done and they accomplished it, and you know, they was able to jump off of, I don't know, Mount Rushmore, who knows, but you know, they were able to do something crazy, jump out of a plane, because they just knew they could do it, and they knew nothing was going to happen. And even if something does happen to you, like, you know, if you fail or whatever, like, who cares? These days, everybody, you know, like, you hear all these stories. Before, people used to hide their failures, but now, you know, you can Google, like, how I lost my job, how I lost all my money in business, how I got sued. Like, you see everybody's failures, and it's like, now you use those failures as a teachable moment. And if you choose to like, say if you started a business and it failed, what did you do wrong? And if you choose to start another business, now you know what not to do. So you can use it as a teachable moment. So we just got to kind of turn it around. Like, don't focus on the negative part. Try to find the positive thing out of it. If we're embarrassed, you get embarrassed for that second. After that, people going to forget about it because there's so much going on in the world. So don't even worry about that, you know. So we just got to turn it around and keep on pushing forward.
Okay. We have about 5 minutes left in the show. Ivy, I wanted to ask you, what are your future plans? What are some of the things that you're working on? Because you're in different industries. Are you doing plays? I'm getting these messages. Are you writing plays?
No, I'm not writing. I'm not writing any plays. I am looking into a couple of film opportunities as far as with my own projects. That kind of, you know, like when I said, once you start something, the universe makes room for your talent. And once you start, the doors start to open. So I am looking into film. So some opportunities came in, in that realm for creating. So I am doing that. And we are working on a book tour. It'll be like I'm teaming up with another motivational speaker author, by the name of J.R. Rivera. We're putting together a book tour on the East Coast, and then we're going to see how that builds up. And I'm just continuing to do work with my nonprofit and some events here in Florida and in other places, because we are venturing out with a lot of things that we're doing because it's catching on. So, and you know, the sky is not the limit. So any opportunity that's favorable, any opportunities that that I feel, you know, is in aligned with my purpose and what I'm doing, then, you know, I'm open to take those on. So anybody out there in the universe, if you want to work with the girl, you want to sponsor anything, if you want to, you know, donate to our nonprofit, if you want us to bring anything to your city or your event, you want us to speak, just let me know. And anybody that's interested in doing any of these things and you have questions, just let me know. Hit me up on social media. Hit me up on my website. I'm usually very responsive when it comes to that. And, yeah, make sure you stay on top of MissIvyBox.com and Miss Ivy Box on all social media platforms, and let's connect.
You know, I wanted to ask you, we have about 3 minutes, I wanted to ask you about your nonprofit organization and the programs that you're offering right now. I think with everything that's going on right now, it's the timing of your nonprofit organization is probably in a good place right now, because there's a lot going on. The summer's about to come. And what kind of programs are you guys have planned that's out there right now? And what programs do you want to add?
Well, Fearless and Flawless Youth Empowerment Workshop, and that's one of the main things that we do. And then we do, our nonprofit does collab with other businesses to put on the Millennial Mixer, which is like a small business, entrepreneur, socialite, networking mixer where we support small businesses, mainly minority businesses. But our nonprofit isn't just focused on kids. We've been doing a lot of things with kids because we're so small right now, and that's one of our big targets. But we love, like, our mission is to improve the quality of life of men, women, and children through health, education, arts and entertainment, and technology. So just introducing individuals into those fields and those areas, which science and technology, the whole STEM thing is really big right now. So any opportunities in that, and just, you know, introducing that to underserved communities is what our overall goal is. And we're big on collaborating. We don't have to curate an event from scratch ourselves. Like, we can collaborate with other people. You know, if we find funding and stuff like that, like Candy Cares, they're providing a bunch of packages to college students, and we donated some stuff. And some gift cards and stuff to those organizations. So collaborating with other organizations and nonprofits is another goal of ours as well.
Awesome. Yeah, I think the service that you're providing is so needed. And if to those that are listening, please get the book. Please get the book.
Yes,
I'm telling you.
365, go get her, guys.
This thing will change your life. I'm telling you, it's laid out. You know, and what I like about it, and people think you're paying me to sell this stuff, but you're not. Yeah. It is a blueprint. It is a blueprint. And it will line up with what you want to do if you're serious about getting out there and becoming a go-getters, if that's what you're trying to do.
Yeah.
So, Ivy, we have about 20 seconds. I want to thank you so much. Ivy reached out to me a while ago. and we're just not able to put it together. And I'm so glad that you came on. You're such an example for so many of us, not just the kids, but to the adults as well. Thank you, thank you, thank you so much, Ivy. Thank you so much.
And thank you for having me. I appreciate everybody taking the time out to listen. I appreciate you for having me on the show. And I just appreciate everybody. And everybody, male, females, go out there, be a go-get-her. The sky is not the limit. It is only the beginning.
Yes. And with that being said, everybody, good night. Thank you for joining us, and thank you for spending time with us tonight. Thank you. Thank you, Ivy.
Good night.